Good morning. Today is Thursday, the 8th of April. Joining us this morning, we've got a double. Can I say a doubleheader on a with baseball now and not get in trouble? We've got a doubleheader this morning. Out of the Humboldt County District Attorney's Office, we have Stacy Eads and Kyla Baxley. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, kind of sounds like the Three Stooges. yeah, I guess that probably dates us also. Alrighty, so since you two were here in person, we've got a new book that is questions, different things that go on. So rather than our question of the day, we kind of have this as a version of that. So are you ready for today's why do we ever wonder why?
Well, let's give it a go.
All right. Ever wonder why the coast is clear is meant to mean that nobody is looking?
No.
Okay, yeah. Those that listen to the language will go yes or no on that. So let me say it differently. Do you know why people say the coast is clear and why it's meant that no one is looking?
Sounds like a war reference to me.
Ooh, dangerously close. Is that the team's response?
Yes, I second that.
All right. The expression originated with seagoing smugglers during the time of William Shakespeare, and originally meant that no one was guarding the coast, so it was safe to sail on in. These questions are not nearly as challenging as what you guys deal with on your day-to-day basis, though.
I don't know. That was pretty tough.
Yeah. So, Kyla, we understand that you've got new business cards now, huh?
They're being made as we speak, yes.
Ah, well, we heard earlier in the week that you got advancement. Either that or you kicked somebody out, depending on what could have occurred. So now you're the top investigator, huh?
I am. I was promoted to chief investigator last week.
So what does that mean?
I've got a lot to learn, and I'm excited about that. Certainly filling the shoes of Wayne Cox, the former chief. So currently, you know, buckling up for a wild ride and looking forward to it.
What, he give you one of his motorcycles too?
He didn't. I'm not sure I would fit on it.
Yeah. Yeah, he is kind of short, isn't he? Oh, so does that mean that it's more of a desk jockey position, or does it allow you out in the field more, or just different areas of responsibility?
You know, I think it's different and more areas of responsibility. You know, my primary assignment for the last 10 years has been, you know, child abuse and sexual assault, in which I really, have a passion for. I certainly don't want to let that go, but I think I really have to kind of redirect some of my energy, at least temporarily, to, you know, figure out, you know, administratively what this looks like and how I can, you know, lead by example for our own investigative division.
So it's a doing position as well as a management or coordination position.
I think so for me, it'll be a doing position, absolutely.
How many investigators are there?
In our unit, we have 10 right now, and then a couple criminal analysts, so non-sworn positions.
How is that? Is this like a career path, or is this something that where you just kind of get shunted off after you get a degree when you come on board in a department that has investigators?
I think for a lot of people, it would be a career path. You know, for me, I worked in the jail as a legal office assistant, and then was hired as a deputy with the sheriff's office, and then in turn went into the detective division at the sheriff's office, and then came to the district attorney's office. So it's been somewhat of a progressive career path for me. You know, I didn't have an ideal career path when I started in law enforcement, and it kind of shaped itself as opportunities presented themselves. And I've been really thrilled with, you know, what I've been able to do and how I've been able to kind of narrow my focus into something I have been passionate about. And then this opportunity presented itself, and certainly not wanting to pass that up. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to what's ahead.
Yeah, I would suspect backing away a little bit is going to be one of the biggest challenges you've got.
Oh, that's no joke. I probably self-admittedly a bit of a control person.
you keep checking off on the words. You're okay. It's called a control freak. It's not a control person.
You know, but call a spade a spade. Yes.
Yeah.
And delegating is going to be difficult, but you know, it'll be good.
Yeah, so you're looking to evolve the position a little bit, rather than either continue in the same direction or blow everything up entirely?
Certainly not blowing up everything entirely. I think everything's open, you know, to changes and being a bit more progressive. I think trying to keep up with the current climate and the times, I think, does allow for some of that flexibility. So certainly not keeping things as they were, per se, but certainly I think there's a very stable foundation there for me to work off of, but I'm looking forward to making a few small changes that hopefully will be big positive things in the end.
Are you looking to have a team of specialists? So you have like the techie guys, and then you've got this area and that area, or is everybody going to be kind of a jack of all trades?
You know, I think that's one of the unique thing about our investigative division right now is that it is pretty well versed with people's specialties. So I think I would like to enhance each of those specialties. I think by the time you come to the district attorney's office, you have a pretty solid foundation of, you know, the jack of all trades, if you will, as far as investigative techniques and expertise. But people have kind of branched out into their own specialties and what they...
Interest.
Interest. So I think I'd like to expand on each of those. So
yeah,
we'll talk.
We'll talk about that when we come back. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning. Today is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Okay, fine. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Stacy Eads. You are there still, right, Stacy? You didn't cut out during our.
I am here.
All right. And Kyla Baxley. Kyla, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the specialization versus a generalist, and certainly you can argue either end of that sword. That's probably one of those ongoing. Management decisions based on things. Are you seeing any trends in some of the cases that are being presented to, to Stacy and her side of the ledger that you're seeing that you would really need or would like to have some additional specialization in certain areas? Or are things kind of becoming more and more predictable so that the folks you have are just have got more stuff to do, but it's still in that same silo, so to speak?
You know, probably a bit of both. You know, I think that some of the specialties that have been expressed by some of the investigators, you know, one of the most recent inquiries was regarding financial crimes, trying to get a bit more expertise in that area. So wanting to expand maybe a bit on those cases. We just I mean, they're just, those cases particularly are so voluminous, you know, bank records and a lot of documents, if you will, that need to be reviewed, and sometimes our expertise or law enforcement backgrounds don't support those sorts of crimes as well as maybe we could, so we do have to reach out for, you know, outside help. That was a recent inquiry to me. So that would be an example, I suppose.
Yeah, like basically trying to find a forensic accountant kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly.
I bet you there's a long line of those graduates in about 3 weeks, huh? How do you find somebody like that? Do you go to law school? Do you go to the accounting departments at the various colleges and universities that you guys have connections with? Do you look for somebody who doesn't want the private sector anymore? I mean, how do you find somebody like that?
Well, I think for that example, it was a few of our investigators. So it would be a law enforcement officer that would have kind of that expertise. And so we've got, you know, very experienced domestic violence investigators. So we have the sexual assault investigators. We've got the general crimes kind of, you know, maintaining the felony caseload. And so it would be a lot, in my mind, it would be, you know, just expanding the training for some of our in-house.
Oh, so it wouldn't be an individual and that's all that they would tackle. It would be an addition or an adjunct to what they're currently doing.
Right, exactly.
I
think that's an example. We've, you know, and we're noticing somewhat of a trend as our knowledge base grows in some of our domestic violence cases as well. And we've been utilizing a medical facility in Reading and taking some of our victims there for medical exams. And so that would be something else that I would like to see Humboldt County have. I think it's important, and it certainly is helpful for the positive outcomes in our cases as well. So it would be another example of one of your questions.
Stacy, what, from your point of view, what would you like to see enhanced in the investigative end of the office?
Well, I think it's really... I think, frankly, we don't have the luxury to have every investigator kind of delve into specific specialties. So I think certainly to a certain extent, all of the investigators do need to be somewhat, you know, jack of all trades, as you were referencing earlier. The investigative team is a very hardworking group. They are very active. They're out in the field as well as in the office. You know, they engage in some of the investigative support of other cases that are initially conducted by other law enforcement agencies. I think that we are incredibly blessed with a great team of investigators. So I think what I would really like to see in the office maybe as a whole is just everyone to have a better understanding of the work that others are doing. And so I think that would help with organization and prioritization. And so we can just be as efficient and effective as possible in serving our community.
You mean internal communication?
I do.
Now, I could say, you know, that could have been a really quick answer, but I'm laughing because I think, other than the irony, is it, I don't know of any business that feels as if they've nailed internal communication. There's a perfect, everybody knows everything that they're supposed to know, and they can go forward, and the retention is there, and the information is utilized, and everybody just kind of is humming along. I mean, that seems so endemic in everything, let alone those that have got specializations like what you guys and gals get to deal with on a regular basis.
Much, you know, the pandemic has sort of, you know, kind of gave a sense of folks just sort of working in isolation, maybe, you know, that just seems a little more amplified perhaps because of that.
Sure.
But it's like, boy, I miss all of us being able to get together and talk about and support each other, and you know, we want to keep that team mentality going. And
you mean the lunch parties? we'll talk about that and more when we come back. It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Stacey Eads and Kyla Baxley from the Humboldt County District Attorney's Office. I guess we could make it sound fancy. Maggie Fleming's out on assignment. Ooh. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, Humboldt Termite and Pest Control, Baywood Golf and Country Club, REDEC, and two new sponsors, Randall Sand and Gravel and Humboldt Bay Bistro. Ladies, as you look at some of the different challenges with the isolation and trying to develop new old efficiencies, or I guess old new efficiencies, what are some of the challenges that you're running into? Is it this lack of sense of team, this separation from being able to spend time in a room with somebody and really get to know them? The judges or some of the procedures that are now elongated? What are some of those challenges that are out there?
Well, I just want to say that I don't feel that there's a lack of a sense of team. I just think that there's always potential to continue to build that sense of team and just to remind one another that we are what we're here for in terms of, you know, protecting our community, standing up for what's right, and, you know, try to have some accountability for offenders. So, you know, I think that's important, in particular within kind of the climate. You know, it's been a challenging time for some law enforcement folks, and, you know, we're here to do the right thing. We're here for justice, and you know, that doesn't always seem readily apparent from folks from the outside that might not have the benefit of all the information that we've been provided with a particular investigation. So anyhow, I just think it's important for us to continue to hold our heads high, have a sense of integrity, do what's right, be honest, truthful, respectful. So that's just, you know, kind of where I was coming from in those earlier sure. comments. With COVID, there have been a number of challenges for everyone. So that certainly is something we're looking forward to hopefully putting behind us.
Is there an increased frustration level with the community, either because of the length of time that it takes to get things done, or some of the other elements that have kind of been, I guess, exacerbated during this series of, I guess, of color changes?
I think that's probably something that's in existence, you know, a greater frustration. Sure, things have taken a longer period of time. We've gone through periods where we just simply haven't been able to get cases to jury trial just because of COVID precautionary measures. Challenging to ask folks to come serve as jurors when we're, you know, at the same time, you know, asking folks to not congregate and socially distance one another. So it has been challenging, you know, for us here in the office, and as well as I suspect for the community as a whole. Crime hasn't stopped, that's for sure. And so we haven't stopped either. I mean, we've continued to work through this, and we've had, you know, again, people, investigators, staff, attorneys out in the field. You know, we still have an obligation to work with our community members. We've kept going, but our hands have been tied a little more than usual in certain areas.
Are there, as a side note, have there been more plea bargains, or is the percentage higher or lower because of the challenges of getting juries, because of the time crunch, maybe not being able to interview everybody quite to the same extent that you would like to be able to because of some of these restrictions that the state or the feds have put into play?
Well, we've certainly had to really channel our energies into the serious and violent crimes in terms of our focus and prioritization. So there have been some reduced sentencings and resolutions that might have not presented themselves but for the COVID pandemic circumstances, and also trying to keep the numbers down in the jail. That has been, you know, an ongoing issue since the beginning of the pandemic, to try to assist in avoiding major outbreaks. So there have been some resolutions and sentences, you know, also from the court, not just, you know, from our office, that probably would not have been provided to defendants if we weren't under the present and past, you know, recent past circumstances.
Have there been any benefits that the office has experienced, or you two as individual within the office, because of the virus and some of the reactions that have been, or the standards or practices that have been put into place?
Well, we certainly have had to adapt and learn some new things. I hadn't even heard of Zoom before the pandemic. So I'm certain that we've all learned some new things. And, you know, just sort of, I don't know if it's totally from a professional perspective, but just also from a personal perspective, I've been really impressed with Humboldt County as a whole in terms of how the community really has come together and taken the pandemic and the virus seriously. And people, you know, in my view, really seem to be kind of looking out for one another. And I think that says a lot for Humboldt County, and I was happy to see that.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43. We will be back.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Stacey Eads and Kyla Baxley from the Humboldt County District Attorney's Office. If somebody is contemplating going into a career, I mean, we've talked a little bit about the generalist. We've talked a little bit about the specialist. Is there an opportunity for somebody with a law degree to really specialize, or would you two both recommend maybe a broader stroke and maybe a broader background, more akin to what Kyla's experience has been?
Well, in terms of the lawyers in the office, there certainly are some vertical assignments where it's a little more specialized as compared to just doing general felonies or the slew of various misdemeanors. You know, initially at a law school, if one were to come into this office, he or she would find themselves doing all a full range of different types of crimes, and most likely starting kind of at the misdemeanor level, so a lot of DUIs, petty thefts, and whatnot. And Ultimately, though, you can develop to a certain extent certain specialties. We certainly have environmental crime specialties, vertical assignment. We have the sexual assault, child abuse, vertical assignment, domestic violence, vertical assignment, and as well as some of the more white-collar fraud, workers' compensation specialties as well.
By vertical assignment, you mean focused on that one area?
Yes.
Okay.
All of us, even with the vertical assignment, we handle other matters, you know, as well.
Sure, sure. But now, a lot of times they'll talk about folks coming out of the military, and they've got a background in this, or they got a background in that, and that it really kind of jumpstarts their career after the military. Is there a parallel for your department, or I guess your careers, for folks coming out of the military?
You know, I think from the law enforcement side, I feel like there is a parallel, if you will, from military to law enforcement. I feel like we see that pretty often. I think that they come with a unique set of skills, you know, when they come into law enforcement that are really important. I commend those folks that have made the transition, because I can imagine it would be, you know, difficult to go from, you know, military to, you know, domestic sort of laws and regulations, and but certainly they have been an asset to the law enforcement community.
So what would be, if you guys could go backwards, what's the one thing you'd do different?
Come on, that's a deep question. It has some pondering. you know, I honestly can't think of anything glaring I would do differently. I've been very grateful proud of, you know, the career in which I've chosen. There's no doubt has been some horrific days, but there's also been very rewarding days. And those rewarding days, I think, granted, where they may seem few and far between, it kind of gets you to the next hump. And I do feel that we have the opportunity to make, you know, these very huge impacts on, you know, individuals and in turn the community. I do feel like we have the chance to be kind of that exponential change in people's lives of, you know, having, you know, if people come to us oftentimes in the worst of times, and trying to help them navigate their way through the system, especially, and I'm talking specifically as to, say, the sexual assault unit, just because that's where, you know, my examples are coming from, is important. I don't think I can think of any major changes to my choices, you know.
Stacey, how about you?
Well, I have a hard time coming up with what I would do differently. I feel extremely lucky, actually, to have found myself where I do. You know, I was born and raised in Humboldt County, and I didn't have an expectation. You know, I had no idea that the DA's office even existed, you know, as a kid growing up here. And went to law school thinking I would do something more kind of in the land use, environmental law field. But then I learned I really wouldn't be able to do that sort of work and actually live in a rural community such as we all are lucky enough to live in here in Humboldt. So I interviewed with Terry Farmer, and he was kind enough to give me a job, and it's served me well, and it's an area that allows me to serve my community and help protect others. And, you know, of course, my family lives here as well, and so I'm motivated to do the best I can for folks here in Humboldt County. And it's a tough job, no doubt about it. We unfortunately do see the worst of the worst, and
but occasionally you get to be the best of the best too, so that hopefully balances that. It's teeter-totter a little bit. Appreciate the time this morning.
Thank
keep working on those files, okay?
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks. See everybody tomorrow.